Enlightening, huh? How many of the missionaries are out there working? When you see it like that, yeah, a little bit of an imbalance. And that's our mission. And this morning, as we come to this table, we're looking at Christ's mission, the mission of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians 11:17. A few years ago, Jackie and I traveled on Route 66. Some of you will remember that. And when we traveled that road, there are certain businesses that are out there. And there is one type of business that is the number one business on Route 66. And that is places to eat. Well, actually, you could even say that because someone said gas stations. And that would be good. But oftentimes, gas stations have become places to eat as well. You know, diners, drives-in, and dives, as they say. Food is very important. And when we see Jesus emphasizing the mission that he has to this world, he used food as the object lesson. And it makes total sense because special occasions are often connected with food, aren't they? Of course, we've got Thanksgiving where it seems to be all about food, but Christmas and anniversaries and birthdays. Our family, we have a red plate that we use, and the special person on that day gets that red plate. My daughter's birthday is today, and of course, we're going to celebrate it by eating at a restaurant. Food is a very big part of what the church does. You know, we do meet and greets. And Jolie and Hody and I used to call them meet and greet and eat because that's what you do. We have ministry directors meetings. And of course, there's a meal that goes along with. This afternoon, we're having a life group leaders meeting. And that is connected to lunch. And it makes sense then that we celebrate every couple of months the Lord's Supper. Because food is so important. You know the joke, right? The kid goes to church or goes to school for show and tell, and the little Muslim kid, you know, has a Quran, and the Jewish kid has a menorah, and the Christian kid has a casserole dish, okay? All showing important symbols in their religious system. Whenever there is a special meal, it's usually something we're looking forward to, something we're anticipating. And so we look forward to getting there, and this morning is no different. Meals are places where we are fed not only physically, but also emotionally, and sometimes even spiritually. And before those kinds of meals, before the birthday meal that I have this afternoon, we have this meal here today. Jesus has set a table for us, and he's invited us to a special meal we call communion, the Lord's Supper. And there are several things as we come to this table that we need to bring to this table, much like what we do with other meals. The first one is we need to come with clean hands. You don't go out and work in the garden or work on your car in the garage and then come inside and sit down and eat dinner right away. You wash up first. I remember when my dad, as a turkey rancher, we would have teams of men that would come and they would load the turkeys onto the trucks. And my dad always said you could tell how long one of those guys had been doing the job by how often they washed their hands. He said when they were brand new, they were washing their hands every 3 minutes. Because, you know, you're hanging out and picking up turkeys and putting them into cages and things like that. He says when they'd been there a while, well, you know, then they would wash their hands every once in a while. When they'd been there longer, they didn't even wash their hands. They just wiped their hands out like this, you know. And I'm talking about, you know, when you're going to go to eat. Then when they'd been there really long, they didn't even wipe their hands off. It just, you know, it's all natural. It all goes together. So this is why the Bible tells us that we are to examine our lives. We saw this a few years ago in the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, that we see that the Corinthians didn't have very clean hands. And in the passage this morning, Paul is talking about their communion service. And here's what he says starting in the second half of verse 17. He says, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. I do not look like where this is going. I would not want to be the pastor of the Corinthian church. And the Apostle Paul starts out that way. This is not good. Verse 18, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Ouch. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, when one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. So these guys did not have those clean hands. And walking through this life, guys, makes us dirty. And it's a good time when we come to this table to wash up, to examine our lives, and to clean up. We'll be doing that in a few minutes. The second thing you need to do when you come to the Lord's Supper is to bring a good appetite. What if you were invited to somebody's house for dinner, and an hour before the meal, you decide, yeah, I'm a little hungry, let me see what you're in, and you find some chips, so you eat a bag of chips, and then you eat, you drink a Coke to wash it down, and then you just can't resist that Twinkie that's sitting there calling your name. And all this junk food, after you'd eat it, is not going to leave you with very much of an appetite for the meal that you're going to. Guys, God is offering us a very satisfying meal. This bread and this cup that we're going to take this morning may not satisfy us physically, but very much it is going to satisfy our spiritual hunger. When we stuff ourselves with the junk food of sin, we're going to lose our appetite for what God has for us at this table. Jesus promises that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What does Jesus mean when he says filled here? Well, a lot of people live their lives on empty. They go day to day without much purpose, without much meaning, and essentially they are starving spiritually. I wonder this morning, do you hunger and thirst? Jesus promises to fill you if you let him. He will fill your days with purpose and with satisfaction, even as we saw pictured up here on the stage this morning. A third thing you must do when you come to the Lord's Supper is enjoy the moment. The chairs that they used to put in places like McDonald's and Burger King used to be really hard. And the idea was they didn't want people to get too comfortable. They wanted you to eat, they wanted you to leave, and make room for other people to come in and eat. And so they gave you these really hard plastic chairs. Essentially, they were saying, eat it and beat it, okay? That's not so much anymore. I see that there's been a change in the industry. They're putting in more comfortable seating. They're desiring to become, as the phrase has been coined, the third place. Okay, there's home, there's work, and now restaurants or places like Starbucks, they want to be the third place in your life, and so they make it comfortable for you. They want you to take your time while you're there, to enjoy it, to savor it. Sometimes we are in such a hurry, well, let's say, I'll be specific. I am in such a hurry that I don't really enjoy my food. I just stuff it in, I inhale it while I'm doing something else or on my way to something else. The thing is, guys, when we partake in the Lord's Supper, we need to savor the moment, to linger and to reflect. When we come to the Lord's table, our spiritual meal should be the focus of why we're here. We should really be thinking about this. That's why we make this such a major part of our service and not, like some churches, just tack it on to the end or do it every week so that it just becomes some rote thing that we do. Another thing at the table is you want to have unity. There must be unity. How many had to sit through a meal where there was fighting going on? In our current political situation, I know I went to some, we had Thanksgiving this past year at our family, and they are of a different political persuasion from me, and I had to sit there and constantly think, okay, what can I say and not say? I don't want this to get awkward. And, you know, me being me, I kind of made a joke about something, and my niece kind of glared at me, you know. And I'm like, okay. So there's a little bit of tension. And that's not good for you at a meal. In fact, doctors say that when you do that, when there is tension, stomach acid is actually released. And the fact is, guys, if there's tension in the body, like there was in the church at Corinth, tension, stomach acid in a sense, is released in the body of Christ as well. That's what they had. That was the problem. What did Paul say to them in Corinth? He says, you're eating supper, but it's not the Lord's supper. Ouch. Ugh. And yet look around. Have you noticed in this room how different we are? We have two different styles of music that we use every Sunday morning. At 9 o'clock, we have hymns. At 9:30, it's a little bit different, although we had a hymn today, and that went pretty well. It seems like we really enjoyed that. But why is that? Is it because one's better than the other? No, it's because they're just different, and that's okay. But at the same time, conflict and tension can come with that, because people will have a tendency to say, well, your thing is wrong and my thing is right. Yours is appropriate and mine is, you know, and so, you know, we can have those kinds of things. And yet, when you go through and realize that they're not good or bad, they're just different, it changes your perspective on things. Look around this room. We'll have people that like different things, have different kinds of taste. People that dress differently, like you saw up here on the stage. People that behave in different ways. Spending a week at Broken Arrow Bible Ranch, it takes me a couple of days to just get into the culture of realizing what's okay, what's not okay, what do they really mean, why are they saying things like that, and after a while I get to the point of where I understand it and I recognize it. Missionaries have to do that all the time. It's a major part of what they do. What we need to agree on, guys, is that our unity in Christ is more important than any of these differences that we have. Our music, our dress, our behavior, our cultures, none of those things should be dividing us. What is greater in our lives, or should be greater in our lives, is what unites us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're like a symphony. You know, the worship team up here, I don't know if you've noticed, but they don't sing in unison in order to demonstrate unity. Right? They're not all singing the same words or the same tune. They're not all playing the same note. They are in harmony. They're playing different things. They're singing different parts. And as we listen to it, it is so much better. I should, if I'd have prepared them for this, I'd have them come up here and everybody sing unison and see the difference. But, you know, you can do that for yourself. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's what the church is all about. And this supper that we're going to have this morning is a picture of our unity, not only with Christ, but with each other. Communion with Christ, and we're picturing that, but also communion for each other. And what did Paul tell the people at the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:33? So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Think of each other. Be unified. One of the problems we have in the church today is that I think that what is happening is all about me. You know, I often will hear people say, well, you know, that's not my kind of thing, and that's not my, and it doesn't really speak to me. And guys, here's the thing. It's often not about you. It's about us. And in fact, I would even go as far as to say that in many ways, it is less about you than anyone else in the room. We should be thinking of other people. I always like the illustration that Dwight Byther gave me one time. He said, somebody asked one time, were you going to go to so-and-so's wedding? And the guy's answer was, nah, I don't go to weddings. Weddings don't do anything for me. And Dwight said to him, well, that's not really the point. You know, you don't go to weddings for you. It's not meant to do something for you. It's meant to do something for the person you're going to the wedding for. And in a similar way, what we do here is not meant to be technically for us, but for the body of Christ. We need to be as well as we come, when we come to this meal, we need to be grateful. Those who prepare meals, they appreciate it when people say, I enjoy your meal. I did that quite a few times last week at Broken Arrow, and I get the impression, I don't know, May, did you, May was a cook there for many, many years. I get the impression that the cooks don't get a lot of praise, because every time I would say, that was a wonderful meal, they were like, oh, thank you. Like, you know, just shovel it down, you know. And yeah, there are cooks there, and they like it when we don't just eat and run, but that we sit and we savor the meal. In fact, that word savor, I looked it up. It says to have an experience with, to taste or smell with pleasure, to relish, delight in, and enjoy. In America, we have fast food. In most of the other cultures of the world, the meal is an event. It's an hour, 2 hours, maybe even longer. And hopefully, if somebody takes you out to dinner, you make an event out of it. We'll do that this afternoon. You don't just shovel it in and then burp and wipe your mouth and leave. You thank them. You are appreciative of what they have done for you. And guys, we need to be grateful for the one who prepared this meal with his very life. We should appreciate the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we miss the whole point of what we're doing in a communion service. And finally, guys, we need to be loyal. We need to avoid the competition. If your family, for instance, owned a restaurant, you'd probably eat at that restaurant a lot. My daughters, Jamie and Wendy, were both in food service. Jamie was a cook. She's not now. She still does cakes and stuff like that. I'm not putting in a plug for Jamie. But anyway. But you know, when she worked at restaurants, I made sure I ate at those restaurants. Anytime we talked about going out, well, let's go to Jamie's place. Let's patronize her restaurant. Wendy worked at the snack bar over at Target, and I was always sending people over there. Tell Wendy I sent you. You know, she'll give you really good popcorn and snacks and things like that. You see, the Christians at Corinth were constantly being tempted to turn their backs on their old, to turn back to their old way of life. And guys, we do similar things today. We're still tempted. In verse 10, Paul talks about eating at the devil's table and then coming to God's table. In verse 21, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Why not? Well, that's the next verse. Because we serve a jealous God. First Corinthians 10:22. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than he, are we? Now, why do we get jealous? I don't know about you, but I get jealous because I feel threatened. I worry that I might lose that person or something. And if I see my wife with someone else and I'm jealous about it, I don't remember the last time that was because I trust my wife. But if I were to get jealous, that would be the reason. Because I'm like, is she going to like him more than me? But guys, when we see in Scripture telling us that God is jealous, it's a very different kind of jealousy. God isn't jealous or threatened by other gods. God is jealous for us. If I happened to be online and I saw pictures, there's a website that's showing criminals in our area. And I saw a picture of a guy that I later found out that there's a woman here in the church that is looking to date that guy. And I would go up to this woman and I would say to her, you know what? You need to stay away from this guy. And what if she were to say to me, oh, Pastor, you're just jealous. Well, in a sense, yeah, I am jealous, but I'm not jealous of him. I am jealous for her. Again, guys, God is not threatened by other gods. They are no threat to him. He's jealous for us. He wants to protect us. He doesn't want to see us destroyed. That's why he wants our loyalty. He knows what's best for us. Our participation this morning in this communion service is that we are loyal to our commitment in Christ, that he is our top priority. That's what we're saying by participating in this. He is number one in our lives. The elders are going to come forward now and begin to prepare the bread. We have one single loaf symbolizing the life of Jesus Christ. It is going to be split, broken for all of us. And as they come and do that, the worship team is also going to come up. And if we come to this table this morning, it means a communion with Christ and with each other. And think about what we've seen. We need to come with clean hands and bring a good appetite and enjoy the moment. And there must be unity. We need to be grateful and we need to be loyal to him. And all of that is wrapped up in this table. So how do you clean up when you come to this table? Well, it's here in our text. He says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks, eats and drinks judgment on himself if he does not judge his body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. And in order to come to this table in a worthy manner, we need to pray, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our, we need to pray that God would examine us, much as David said, search my heart, show me if there's any wickedness within me. Lord, just simply ask the Lord, Lord, am I worthy to come to this table? And remember what I said, it means we're giving a picture of our unity with God and our unity with each other. Lord, are things right between you and me? And then, often for many of us, the hard question. Lord, are things right between me and the others in this body? That's what Corinth was having a problem with. Remember what Paul said to them? You come and people, there are people that don't get anything because other people are taking all the food. They would have a love feast along with it. And so if the Lord tells you, and I say, I've told you many times, I hardly ever pray that prayer where God doesn't give me something. What about this, Willie? What about that? You said this. You thought that. And those things come up. And as they come up, I very simply invoke 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yes, Lord, you're right. I did that. Will you forgive me of that? Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. And once we've done that, we are once again now prepared and ready to come to this table in a worthy manner. One other way to come in an unworthy manner is that this table is a memorial. And it's a memorial of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. His broken body, his shed blood were for me. And as I partake in this, I am demonstrating that in a very physical way, what Jesus has done in my life. If you've never taken that step, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and if you're not following him as your Lord, then this table is not a memorial for you. And it would be appropriate not to participate in that because you are not worthy to participate. But you can be worthy. We can take care of that right now. ABC, admit your need of a Savior. Believe that Jesus Christ came and died for not his sins, but for your sins, because all of us weren't under that death sentence that Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But Jesus became the gift of God, which is eternal life through his death that we're picturing at this table. A, B, and then the C is to choose, to make a choice. Simply say right where you are right now, Lord Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior, take control of me. It was pretty cool this week at camp as I was speaking at one of the services. I emphasized that to them. I don't often do altar calls there because there's a tendency to just sort of get a mob mentality. You know, it's like I've shared before, when I first came to know Christ at the age of 8, the presentation was all the good little children go to heaven and all the bad little children burn in hell forever. And if you know Jesus, you won't burn, you'll go to heaven. So how many want to come to Jesus? And 50 hands went up because, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer choice. Burn or heaven? Okay. Yeah. And I always had questions about that. And later, if you know my testimony, later I made that secure and solid. And so I emphasize to people that this is not something that somebody has to lead you in a prayer to. This is the desire of your heart. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that can happen anywhere between you and him. And what was cool was after one of my messages, one of the counselors came up and she said, a girl in my cabin just told me that she prayed to receive Christ while you were preaching. And that's pretty cool. And that's what God wants to do in your life. And maybe that's what he's going to tell you right now. In order to be ready and worthy to participate in this table, you need to know my son. And then you have a memory, and this memorial now becomes yours. So we're going to take just a couple of minutes of silence. And I'm going to ask on behalf of all of us, Lord, search us. Show us what's going on in our lives. Hopefully we're not like the Corinthians and have that might take a little more time. But whatever it is, just agree with him. Yes, Lord, you're right. I offer that to you. And then we'll be ready to come to this table. And what we're going to do once I say amen, these guys are going to take the elements to the various tables around the room. And we're going to sing. And during that song, feel free to get up, go to the table, and get your elements and go back to your seat. As the song is playing and as we're singing together. And then once that's done, we'll share in communion together. Let's pray. Father, we do come together today to thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. And we picture that here this morning. But Lord, as your word tells us, warns us really, we want to be worthy of this table, because there is somewhat of a curse for participating if I am not in the right place. This is supposed to be a time of reset, if you will, in my life. So Father, would you search my heart, as David says, and show me if there is anything within me that is not honoring to you, that would make me unworthy of this table. And Lord, as you show these things to me, I will agree with you, offer them up, and Lord, experience your forgiveness. Speak to us now, Lord. Father, I thank you because of what we are remembering at this table. We have the right and ability to experience your ongoing forgiveness in our lives. We thank you that you are a God who does love us and forgives us, a God of grace and a God of mercy, not getting what we deserve and getting what we don't deserve. We thank you, Father, and for all these things. May they be more and more real to us as we participate in this service now. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.